Thank you to our newest bass player. Hallelujah. I think that's why I was so anointed this morning. I thank you for people willing to use their talents for the kingdom of God. Just give a second for the first class to dismiss. Welcome this morning. As PJ's already said, we've got lots going on, lots of things. If you're visiting, we'd just love to be able to connect with you more, find ways, meet with leaders, ask questions, do whatever you got to do. It's great to have you with us today. This is quite the week we live in. I don't know what your news is filled with, but Queen Elizabeth's passing has stirred the world. She was an amazing testimony of someone who loved Jesus. And I'm thankful when I read on, you know, the major news places, they talk about her love for Jesus. And she had an amazing testimony. And when you hear some of her last speeches, you just think, yeah, God was working. And we don't know what's coming, but the world will miss someone like her. And I'm not much of a royal family follower, but she did have an amazing testimony. And I want to mention her this morning. Just, I pray God would stir the world around her faith. And I know religion and stuff creeps in and the ceremony and the whatever, but she had a testimony and loved God. Amen. Pray for the Commonwealth. The Queen is dead. Long live the King. We don't put much in tradition anymore in this day and age, but there were some good things about tradition and strength and honor and upright and constitutions and Magna Carta's and things that good people put in place for good reasons, and we need to pray for our countries. Amen. That was for free. You know, the last while we've been speaking, I don't know when it happened. I remember us all standing here and had a commissioning and we prayed for ourselves and for one another, just dedicating ourselves to the Lord. And then we had leaders and we ended up praying for the whole church. I'm not sure when that was or where it fits in the whole picture of things, but some of those things catch up to you. And some of the things we've preached over the years, we say it, they catch up to us. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to just hit straight in because it's been a great morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 will be my text. I'm going to go to a couple places in Romans and in Isaiah. But here's the thing. The sign of being a Christian is that Jesus can just reach into your life anytime he wants and take whatever he wants. That is a good sign of a follower of Jesus. And I would add, you are glad when he does. That's a good Christian. Sometimes we're not so glad, but the reality is when we say Lord, Lord, we call him Lord, that literally means he owns us. He owns everything. It's his choice. It's his plan for our life and his purposes that have to be fulfilled, and God is working. We don't always understand it. We don't always rejoice in every detail, but we say, God, we want to be faithful. Keep my heart right. I want my heart to be close to God, not just my lips. I want my heart to be after God. And so this morning I'm going to touch on about three of my favorite lifetime verses, and I've shared most of these things many times over the years and over my lifetime, so forgive me, but I don't care. You say, well, is this a pep rally? Yes. Are you here? You're just trying to, you know, stir us up emotionally. Yes. Of course. What else would I want to do this morning? Put you all to sleep and... Okay, wake up now. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 15. I'm in the NIV, so if you want to listen to it, it says, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and expend myself as well. Other verses will say, I very gladly spend everything I own, spend everything I have, and be spent, be used up. Paul's pouring out his heart to the Corinthians, a troubled church. You can go through the history of it. I don't want to this morning. And he's He's saying, I'm making a fool of myself. I got to defend myself. You know, I'm an apostle. I'm a man of God. I didn't take from you. I was legit. And then he says to them, I will gladly spend and be spent. Spend everything I have for the sake of your souls. And he pours out his heart. And many times in the scriptures, you'll see men and women like Paul who come to that place where they just say, okay, God, it's all yours. Whatever I have, I submit my husband, my wife, my family, my kids, my finance, my life, whatever it is, to you and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I said, the sign is that he can help himself. But we're glad, because I want to just make a little disclaimer there. In Ephesians, talks about the reason we're glad is because we've tasted of the goodness and the grace of God. Ephesians talks about how to live our life. If you remember, we've gone through the book of Ephesians many times in this church, in different ways. But as you get into the book of Ephesians, you have how to live your life. Walk worthy, live holy, live, you know, wisely. But before he gets to the living part, he talks about God has lavished his love upon us. We have been elected. We have been predestined. We are God's amazing people. He's chosen us. We never chose him. He chose us. He found us. He saved us. We were dead in sin, and he brought us to life, and he lavished his love upon us. So before you get to the living, doing part, it's very good to have the grace and the amazing love of God part burning in your heart. Then it's not a challenge to lay down your life. Then it's not here we go again. It's, no, God, what do you have in store for my life? So I just want to put that in there. And Paul, when he's talking about, I would gladly spend and be spent. He wasn't just preaching a good sermon on a Sunday morning like I am, you know, trying to are you not yet entertained kind of crowd. He was saying, I will gladly spend and be spent. He understood this, what the grace of God was, what the amazing gift of God to him was, and what he was sharing. So if you go to Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, 3, you can read the whole chapter, but he says this, I speak the truth in Christ. Here he is again. I'm not lying. I don't know, Paul, you a liar? No, he's like, he's trying to make this point. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption of sons. Theirs is divine glory, the covenants, and so on. But Paul just, again, he's not just making up a sermon. He's like, I would gladly give everything I have if my brothers, the Jewish nation, would turn to Christ, their eyes would be open. And that's what I'm saying this morning. When you get a taste of God and a taste of him in your life and him using you, and if you've ever experienced sharing, witnessing, testifying, preaching, praying, doing something, playing an anointed song like this morning, I'm telling you, the gates of hell shook this morning as we sang those words. I believe for healing for your mother. I believe for the things we prayed for this morning. God will shake this world. He'll shake our lives because he is the only God. And when we sing those things, we believe it. And so when Paul's pouring out his life, he means it. A gladly spend, gladly, because he's tasted of the good things of God. He says, I'm ready to lose my own soul. And I want to go to Isaiah. If you come to Isaiah, I'm just making a point here this morning. Isaiah chapter 1. You know, there's so many examples besides Paul. I got little notes in my Bible all over the place, back in Corinthians and in Romans. And, you know, Martin Luther, I live as though Christ was, you know, born yesterday, or died yesterday, rose today, coming back tomorrow. You know, those great missionary statements. Paul's saying, I will lay down my life. I will give my life if people would be saved, if they could come to know God. And here in Isaiah chapter 1, just, you could read the whole thing. You know, I got to go to verse 1. Maybe I won't. Let's just stay with the scripture. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Zion. No, I'm in the wrong verse again. Isaiah chapter 6. I knew it wasn't adding up here when I'm looking at it. I do want to back up to verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That's the verse, the words I wanted to get. He says, I saw the Lord. And then you drop down to verse 8. He says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people. And there's something about what I'm trying to get to is when you hear the call of God, when you've tasted of God speaking to you and you responding well and have seen the results of it, you can do nothing except what Isaiah says. Here I am. These words are real, folks. Here I am. Send me. Yeah. There's something about the call of God that takes the pain out of the dying, the pain out of the giving, the pain out of laying down your life. Yeah. There's something about the call. You know, and I got it written in my notes of my Bible again. As I said, this is a pep talk this morning. But it's like, if you hear people, the call of the wild, the call of the ocean. What is it, the call of the ocean? Have you ever stood by the ocean and felt the call? I have. We sailed for days out around Zanzibar, and the closest earth is 2 miles down at the bottom of the ocean, and you just look at this thing, and I felt like, you know, whatever, the Titanic. I'm the king of the world. Till my friend was throwing up all the time over on the side. But that's another story for another day. But it's like, what it means, the call of the wild, the call of the sea, the call, is there something inside of you that's agreeing with something that's outside, something bigger. And Isaiah, he saw the Lord. And man, when you've seen the Lord, you've got to do something. And he says, send me. And this morning, I know God is speaking to us as a church and to individuals, and we say, here am I, send me. Is that okay? Are you ready? When God puts his finger on your heart and says, I want this, I want you, I want your life, I want your family, I want your finance, I want your kids. See, when I go back to Paul, my favorite verse of, I'll gladly spend and be spent. I would die for my nation. He wasn't being foolish. He wasn't stupid. He was choosing how he laid down his life. And you and I, and I've said this many times in this church and hundreds of times in my life, we are not stupid. We're not foolish. People look at us, they don't understand the call of God. They don't understand when you talk about these things. My family didn't understand it when we talked about moving and going to Africa and changing our life. It's hard to explain that call until you've heard it. Until you've stood there and you say, I'm going to lay down my life for this. And Paul did it, and it was a choice. And all I'll say is every one of us are choosing every day how we lay down our life. You are choosing every day how you spend your life. I'm glad you're here this morning. You chose to spend your life here with us. Every one of us has been given an opportunity to say yes to God. This is what I'm going to do with my life and with what you've given me. And as I wind down, I was talking to mission students yesterday and talking about, you know, we talk about the cost, we talk about the call, we talk about all these great things. And I used the example of when Lori and I left Swan Hills. We felt called to Africa. After being called to Swan Hills, we loved it. And we're driving out of Swan Hills and we're weeping and we're crying, thinking of our friends. I could name friends. Some of them have visited us here since then. They're still our friends. And we're driving away from that town. And this is for your sake, leader's sake. You know, they said, why do the best ones always go to Africa? Ha ha! I just throw that in. And we're driving away and we're just, oh God, that feeling, that cost. And then God took us to Tanzania and opened up an amazing door there and led us on. And I remember years later going back to Swan Hills to preach as a missionary and thinking, thank God. Thank God he called me out of there. But then we had to weep and cry and leave Tanzania. And I could tell you a whole long story of how they farewelled us and what happened and how God, it's just too many stories. And then we get to South Africa and we're just rejoicing in the amazing goodness of God. And then the call comes to plant a church in Canada. And I thought I was arranging that for others, other people. And we could just be the orchestrators of this amazing trip. And we had to weep and cry. And we said, we're not going to weep and we're not going to cry. And then we saw the picture of Matthew that someone had painted and holding his face and this whole story around them. We're just like, poo! And then we're here. And I'm still waiting to see what the good of being here is. No. All I want to say is that when God asks and we say yes, it costs everything. There's no joke about it. You know, Abraham's sword for his son was not a rubber sword. Yeah, Lord, I sacrifice. No, it's real. And when you put your hand up and say, send me, it's real. And it costs everything. But the beautiful thing about it is at the end of the day, God is no man's debtor. And what he asks for, he blesses with. And I could quote many, many words of Jesus of leaving father and mother lands and homes, and God has more for us. And so, where am I going with all this? Are you ready? God has put his finger on one of our couples, and they have put up their hand and said, here am I, send me. And I could tell a long story, but I will shorten it. But we got a call from a pastor, and I'm going to let the folks involved share more their own story. And I said, yes, you can, for sure, you can talk with them. I'm not going to stand in anyone's way. And inside, I'm like, oh man, our preaching catches up with us. Raising up and releasing, sending your best. The nations are our inheritance. Make the world your parish, or your parish becomes your world. You know, we say all these things. So, make a long story short, because I know I got your attention now. Brian Davis from Life Springs Church in Abbotsford, who was here speaking. Remember our spiritual emphasis days? I didn't know he was planning to pilfer and rob and steal, but they've invited Herman and Yolani and their family to go full-time to Abbotsford. And so it's an amazing testimony. It's an amazing blessing, but it costs. But when we pay that price, we'll feel it in this church. But I know, here's what I want to say before I have Herman Yolani come and share, and then we're going to pray, is as God stirs, and he's been stirring us, and I've been talking about it for the last, again, it catches up to us. We cannot become only looking inward, us, our needs, our brokenness, our hurts, our pains. God raises, yes, but he does that to heal us, to do more, to do amazing things in the world. Hallelujah. It's not just about, okay, he's going to, oh, my marriage needs some healing. And yes, it does. But it's so that my marriage can be a testimony to the world and change the world. And so as we challenge one another, and we've been saying it, we've got to look to the fields. It cannot just be about this. God has gathered amazing people right in this room for a purpose, to reach out, to touch the world, to make a difference. And so it's exciting, and it's kingdom, and it's painful, and it's Haiti fun, and all those things we've said. But we just, as elders, talking, praying these last, and it's suddenly, the suddenlies of God are, I love suddenlies, but doesn't mean everybody does. But when God speaks, and we as elders are praying and chatting and talking these last couple of weeks, and Dave McTaggart and Brian and different ones, we just know God is in this. And so, Herman, come. Share a little bit of what God's doing, wherever that microphone is. Thanks. Yolani, come.
Thank you. Yes, it's good. It's good to be in this house and with this family. And Yolani says I shouldn't look at anyone. Years ago, I'll tell you this story about our lives, and many of you know us, but some just got to know us in the last month. But years ago, we were in South Africa in a town, Hermanus, where her grandparents lived, and there's this massive anchor, red, rusted, lying on the one wall, and a few feet away from it, there's this massive ship propeller lying against the other wall, and I look at it, and I feel it's so symbolic of our marriage, and we were just married and just loving God, and we're looking at this like, no ways, man, you go stand next to the propeller because you always want to go places and do things, and I will go stand next to this anchor, and we take pictures, right? And this is a symbol of who we are and how God, I think, can use us. And we're completely different and love each other, and God uses that difference in his kingdom. And we have always mentioned that one day, either I or you are going to leave this church, right? It's going to happen. We're not going to sit here forever. And Yolani's heart for the next adventure has always been there, and my heart for settling and being here solid and living has always been there. And we've done that for 10 years in Edmonton, Canada. Never been here before. Hardly knew Leonard and Laurie. And we came because we felt God stir something to be in this church, to help this church. And this verse out of Isaiah 6:8, I just shared this with Eric and PJ before the meeting. And it's one that I've written down. It's one of my memory verses that I just look at now and again. And I've prayed it many times, and I've understood that there's a cost attached with it. And I would say, God, isn't that a privilege? When we see you, number one, he sees God, and then he gets this conviction that he's not good enough, and God touches him, cleanses him with a coal, and then God needs somebody to send. He says, here I am, send me. And I count it as a privilege.
Yeah.
So to share quickly my heart and what is going on in my heart, we just decided 2 weeks ago we're going to sell our house, and we're going to get a little house with a garden, just move closer to the school. We actually saw a great house two blocks from here, which is close to the school, close to the church, and I got excited because we could probably afford it. And we took that step. And then the next weekend, we sit with Dave McTaggart, and we're chatting about our future and our ministry, and he says, hey, you know who's looking for a guy? It's actually Brian Davis. It's like, okay, good. And then that Wednesday, I get a call, and it gets real quick. And then we prayed about it, and we thought it good to just share this with Leonard and with our elders to say, here's what God is inviting us to. What do you think? Of course, it's nice to go and live there. It's also twice as expensive to go and live there. And it's going to cost all my little plans and everything I've worked out for the next years that I want to be just living here and serve and be an engineer and love God. It's throwing all of that away. And that was enough for me to know that this will take more faith, require more sacrifice. And I trust that God is going to lead us.
Amen.
Just look up. Yeah, I read in Acts, and it seemed right for us and the Holy Spirit, and that's all I can say. The rest will just be tears. Ay, ay, ay. We have anchored deeply here. We have loved, and it's been sweet. Josh told us it's been a slice. So it's been a slice, guys. Yeah, I just pray that you are stirred today, that God is stirring your heart, and that when your time comes, you will gladly spend your life.
Come on.
And we know what it costs because we've done this. As much as a propeller I am, it's pretty hard to do it. It's like, I love it. It's exciting and it's fun and I love meeting new people. I grew up, I think the longest I've ever lived in one place is in Edmonton. I've never in my life lived so long in one place. But when God asks you, what can you do? You cannot but say yes. So I pray that you would say yes. I pray that your faith is stirred today. I had a chat with someone this week too, and they were just like, it's such a privilege to be asked such a good thing. It's such a big thing. It's crazy. But it wasn't the first thing that God asked us to do. He asked us to love each other. He asked me to stop yelling at my kids. Still working on that one. He asked us to serve the church. He asked us to lay down our lives. We didn't get this call. That was the first thing. He was like, oh yeah, by the way, rip up your whole life and move to Abbotsford. So be faithful in the small asks. He's laying things on your heart. Don't be afraid to have that intimate time with the Lord. Fear not. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Just stay here for a sec. It's 12 years ago almost to the day we planted this church. This is our 12-year celebration. And it was a couple of years before that when we came back from Canada on a kind of a inspection tour, as I said, planning for others to come to Canada, God spoke to us to come. And I remember the service, I think it was a Sunday night when we got back, I don't know. We make this announcement about planting a church in Canada. And some of you guys, I'll have you stand in a minute. But what I remember, like, burned in my brain is this young couple, kids, they're talking 14 years ago, just kids, coming and the first people saying, we're coming to Canada with you on that church plant. And in my heart, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going. You guys are crazy. Who are you people? And the joke always was, it wasn't me who said it. Someone else said it, but don't come to Canada to think you're going to be our friends. Because what if that doesn't work out and then you're stuck in Canada? It's a good advice and you're not my friend. But these guys, from day one, said God's called us. And you know that call, like you're just trying to explain, I'm saying it, the call to the wild, the ocean, the call of God, something in us agree. It's hard to explain to people. How did you know to go to, I don't know, I just knew in my nor. How did you know to come to Canada? Why that night? Why did a bunch of people stand up in the church and say, yeah, we want to plant the church because there's something about God. And I promise I'll end with this. Is that if, I've said it already, but if you've tasted of some of that, of obedience, of his blessing, of seeing fruit, of just God's goodness, and I could, you know, don't get me started. I'll start telling stories. You're ruined for life. Because here's the deal. We can sit and talk this stuff about life and cost and moving and these are the couples. We can, and there's plenty in the church, trust me. But it's real. And then you sit with folk and their biggest discussion is some campsite, or I don't even want to say things because then people, like, it's better to be an evangelist and travel and then I can talk all about you guys all over the world, use great examples. But just that emptiness of discussion so often around stuff. When we need to be talking about the things of God and the kingdom, and I know I need to get happier and more joyful around the things of everyday life. But if you've tasted being used of God, I want to move to Abbotsford. I'm saying, here, send me! Woo! No, but I can't sing and I'm not young and I'm old. And they look at me like, No, we want the good people. No. And it's true. We only send our best. So we are excited with you. In reality, I'm glad it's not me. I know the cost, but I know on the other side of death, on the other side of paying a price, is life and more. And, you know, you talk about the cost of living, you talk about housing. I don't know. God can give you a mansion overlooking the lake so I can come and visit you. I don't know. God is no man's debtor. He is amazing. And so, having said that, we're going to have this is part of a process, okay? The dates, the times, we'll have a celebration, we'll send them off. But what we felt for doing this was just to free them up to start planning, their kids talking, the holy gossip is starting to go out. It's better you hear it now. And this process will walk out in the next days and weeks. And we want you to pray with them, we want you to stand with them. And my last thing, Russell, then I'm going to ask you to come so you remind me, is when God stirs like this, I'll just tell you, he's stirring here, raising up new leaders, new people to rise up, to say, yes, here I am. And Yulani asked it, say yes. And I'm going to ask Russell, just share. He came with these guys, with us. It took a bit of a season, but he shared with our leaders the other night, but be free to share whatever you want, but just how God, but make it good. And God is working through these things in them, in us, in the church, in Abbotsford. Bless you.
Yeah, so we, 14 years ago, when we made decisions to come to Canada, some guys had more faith, well, not more faith, but they just went crazy with packing a container and moving out to the Cape and just saying, God, they heard God and they said, we're going to do whatever it takes. And that was Carl and Min over there. If you want to hear more of their story, they're champions in our eyes because it gives us the faith to then go through a journey which took 2 years. And Herman and Yulani and me and Helen, we were in that journey of, you put in papers and you wait. And you wait. And there's 52 weekends, Sundays in a year, and we took at least 18 months. So it's a lot of Sundays, 70, 83 Sundays. I'm having to answer the question of, God, are we still going? Yes, we are. So we settled it. But then the people in the congregation were kept on asking, saying, so are you still going? Is it still in the works? Why are you still here? Why are you still serving? Why aren't you there yet? And I shared at our meeting that even through that process, what God was doing, he was building faith in us. He was building resilience in us to be able to take the steps along the way, to keep on saying yes, to say yes, to encourage people to what are you doing to make it easy for me to go. And like Leonard shared, it's good, the process, and it's good for you, and it's good for us. And wherever you've seen Herman and Lani being involved in, it creates little vacuums all over. And for them in particular, because they've been so embedded in a lot of what we've done here, I can see hands flying up right now to say, I want to be involved. I want to take hold of stuff. You are leaving a good legacy, man. Yeah? And you'll continue to leave a good legacy wherever you go. Because why? You look to God first. And I will share that little story of sitting in your lounge with you across your little suitcase. It was just me and Herman because Yulani had decided 2 years before that to go, and she was already there. And you had bought a house with a pool and a motorbike, and you were set. You were, maybe if it doesn't work out, it's not so bad if they decline my application. And it would have been fine. But we sat across from one another, and you cried. And I shared with you the other day about, I see the stains on that little suitcase of yours that you still have in your house now. And the stains are not fresh ones, but they're there to remind you of the journey that you already walked. The 2 years that you already said yes and yes and yes and over again, yes, Lord. So this comes as an equipping and a confirmation time again of God saying, you remember, you see the way you've walked. It's been good. and that pushes you into the next season of saying yes again. Without the knowing, your hostel hasn't sold yet. Like Yolani said, someone here needs to buy it now. Your hostel has to sell. Your kids still need to settle in their excitement. But we're with you. I'm with you. Me, I can say I, and I hope there'll be many more eyes with yous out here. We love you guys.
Amen.
Was that good enough?
You did good. Just hang on to that. Carl Amin, would you come? Jenny, would you come? Who else was in Pretoria at that time? Melanie. Yeah, my daughters. Come. PJ. He was, yeah, Matthew. Where's Matthew? Is he in Sunday school? Come, Matthew. And there was others that have moved on to Vancouver already. Nick and Tracy, a few people they didn't actually come from our church, but they met us here. Yeah, there's not many of us good ones left, huh? They're thinning out. But we just want to honor God. People who just said yes to what God's will is for their life. And maybe we can have the worship team come. We're going to pray in a moment. But I'm asking you to say yes to God and to His ways and to His will. And, you know, speakers, we're tricky. We can work a crowd. I'll say this way. All those who are no good and don't want to do anything for Jesus, just stay seated. Oh, that's bad. What I want to ask this morning, and then you say, well, I don't even know what that means. I don't know. But a willing heart to say, I'll gladly spend my life. I'll gladly be spent for God. Not for nonsense, for God. I want my life to count. And I'm going to ask you to stand with us if that's you. And we're going to pray and just bless this couple. And as I said, we're going to have a party and a celebration when the day comes for them to go. But we've been commissioning ourselves and asking ourselves, you know, to take up our crosses. Even if the cross wasn't our choice, I can literally tell you this cross was not Herman's choice. And it wasn't my choice. When the call came, you sit there and just like, whew. Why didn't they take... I love you all. It's real. And so, we appreciate you guys. And all you guys for faithfulness. And this is another step of fruit. I wish someone from 3CI was here. This is a 12-year celebration. They sent us. They financed us. This is fruit, more fruit of that. And they rejoice with us, and their friends rejoice with them. Amen. Will you dedicate yourself? Will you just bow your heads for a moment? Say yes to Jesus. Whatever, yes, whatever it takes. Revive us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we prayed at this altar already for people who want more of God and a fresh anointing and a fresh touch of God. Healing for mothers and healing for family. Touching eyes and hearts. Bringing people out of deserts. Oh God, I thank you. You bring us out of deserts. Some of them we create ourselves, and some of them are not our fault. Some of them we find ourselves lost. Other people's neglect, our own neglect. Sheep get lost, coins get lost. But I thank you, God, you come and you find us, and you search us out, and you sweep the house, and you find your treasure. And I pray this morning for each one that's standing here today in this church, there would be a sense of your call on our life to follow you, to serve you. And we say, yes, help yourself to our lives. Reach into our lives. Help yourself, Lord Jesus, to my life. We pray for Herman and Yulani, the decisions they have to make for their children, schooling, housing, finance, everything. But God, I thank you for the call of God that makes it real, that makes it possible, that makes it a privilege to serve you. And may you bless them and us. I pray for the people right now who you're speaking to in this congregation who need to rise up. Prayer, worship, life group, ministry, just being good people. Bless them, Father, as they step up to fill shoes that are being left, space that's being created because of what you're doing. And I thank you for today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate? I don't know what songs you're going to sing, Helen, but I love the one where hell shook and fell down, but you do whatever you want. Bless these guys. And if you would like prayer, we're here to pray. If God's speaking to you, you say, I'm in a desert. I'm not saved. I don't know what you are. We would love to pray with you this morning. That's the kind of morning it is. God is calling his people. Make your life count. Amen.